Okay, team, let's dive straight into what's keeping me up at night. This week's deep dive into higher education data reveals something I'm calling the Great Acceleration. The pace of change in teaching and learning has hit a point where many institutions are struggling to even catch their breath.
Alex, from my classroom days, I saw this coming. The tension between tradition and innovation isn't new, but the stakes have changed completely. We're not just talking about swapping textbooks for tablets anymore.
As someone sitting in these classrooms right now, the disconnect is palpable. Professors using decade-old teaching methods while we're using AI tools they don't understand to complete assignments. There's this invisible race happening between how we learn and how we're taught.
Exactly, Aisha. That's the dimension derby we're tracking this week. On one track, you have tradition, proven methods, established curricula, the sage on the stage model. On the other, innovation, adaptive learning platforms, AI teaching assistants, personalized pathways. What's fascinating is that our data shows institutions aren't choosing one track over the other. They're trying to run both simultaneously.
And that's where the pedagogical whiplash happens. I remember when my school district introduced learning management systems while still requiring handwritten lesson plans. The cognitive dissonance for educators was exhausting. Now multiply that across higher education with 10 times the technological complexity.
The research Alex shared about automatically detecting confusion and conflict during collaborative learning really hit home. We had a group project last semester where half the team was using AI coding assistants while the other half refused. The linguistic analysis would have shown our communication completely breaking down, not just about the project content, but about fundamental approaches to learning itself.
That study from the collaborative learning research is crucial evidence. When they analyzed linguistic patterns, prosodic cues, and facial expressions during group work, they found that confusion spikes weren't about the subject matter itself, but about mismatched learning technologies and expectations. Students weren't confused about calculus. They were confused about whether using Math Canvas for visual reasoning was cheating or enhancing understanding.
This goes straight to faculty concerns about pedagogical integrity. When I was teaching, the fear wasn't that technology would replace us, but that it would undermine the learning process in ways we couldn't see coming. The watermarking research, that framework for adaptive AI usage detection, speaks directly to this anxiety. If we can't tell when students are using AI appropriately versus inappropriately, how do we maintain academic integrity?
But here's what professors might be missing. We're not trying to cheat the system. We're trying to survive it. When I use an AI tool to help structure my essay, it's because I'm taking 5 classes, working 20 hours a week, and trying to actually learn the material deeply, not just complete assignments. The comparison between AI-generated essays and student-written ones showed something important. The best students use AI as a thinking partner, not a ghostwriter.
That linguistic encoding study revealed something subtle but profound. When students use AI thoughtfully, their writing shows more complex idea development, not less. The problem occurs when the relationship becomes transactional rather than transformational. The dimension derby isn't really human versus machine. It's about finding the right partnership between them.
From my perspective in community colleges, the resource disparities make this even more challenging. At wealthy institutions, they're implementing multi-agent systems like that FACET framework for personalized worksheets. Each student gets custom-generated practice problems based on their learning patterns. Meanwhile, at underfunded colleges, professors are still photocopying the same worksheets they've used for 15 years.
That's the institutional transformation challenge in a nutshell. The students who need the most support often have access to the least adaptive technology. When I tutor at the Community College Learning Center, I see students struggling with concepts that could be mastered quickly with the right digital tools, but the institution can't afford the licensing fees.
This brings us to the critical gap in our data, the long-term pedagogical impact. We're collecting mountains of data about engagement metrics and completion rates, but we know very little about how these technological shifts are affecting deep learning, critical thinking development, or knowledge retention 5 years down the line.
Exactly. The classroom victories I remember weren't about test scores. They were about that moment when a student's eyes light up because they finally grasped a concept that had been elusive. How do we measure whether AI-assisted learning produces more of those moments or fewer? The research on facial cue detection during learning suggests we might be able to track engagement more subtly, but engagement isn't the same as understanding.
As a computer science major, I see both the incredible potential and the concerning limitations. Tools like Math Canvas that create visual chains of thought for mathematical reasoning can be revolutionary for students who think spatially rather than symbolically. But if the technology becomes a crutch rather than a scaffold, are we actually developing mathematical reasoning or just pattern recognition?
That's the innovation versus tradition tension playing out in real time. Traditionalists argue we're losing fundamental skills, while innovators say we're evolving toward more authentic problem solving. The evidence-based adoption path forward requires us to move beyond anecdotes and actually study what works for which students in which contexts.
What worries me is the institutional politics dimension. Curriculum committees move at glacial speeds while technology evolves daily. By the time a university approves a new AI literacy requirement, the technology has already transformed three times over. The governance structures of higher education weren't built for this pace of change.
Meanwhile, we students are living in both worlds simultaneously. In one class, I'm using cutting-edge AI systems to analyze datasets, and in another, I'm filling out Scantron bubbles with a number 2 pencil. The cognitive switching costs are real, and nobody's talking about them.
The regional disparities Maya mentioned earlier become especially pronounced here. At research-intensive universities, faculty are often developing these technologies, while at teaching-focused institutions, they're struggling to implement them. The gap isn't just about resources, it's about cultural and technical capacity.
Having taught in both Latin American and US contexts, I've seen how these tensions play out differently across regions. In some systems, there's more flexibility to experiment because the tradition isn't as entrenched. In others, the weight of educational history makes innovation feel like betrayal.
The generational differences in tech adoption are fascinating to watch. Some of my younger professors seamlessly integrate digital tools, while others treat them with suspicion. But it's not just age, it's pedagogical philosophy. The best technology-enhanced learning I've experienced came from professors who fundamentally rethought their teaching, not just digitized their existing methods.
That gets to the heart of institutional transformation. It's not about adding technology to existing structures. It's about redesigning those structures around new possibilities for learning. The multi-agent systems research shows the potential for truly personalized education. But that requires rethinking everything from classroom spaces to assessment methods to faculty roles.
The faculty concerns are legitimate, though. When we talk about AI systems generating personalized worksheets, what happens to the teacher's expertise? The Facet research positions these systems as teaching assistants rather than replacements, but that still requires faculty to develop new skills and relinquish some control.
From the student perspective, the most effective implementations are transparent. When professors explain why they're using certain technologies and how they connect to learning objectives, we're more likely to engage meaningfully. The confusion detection study found that clarity about tool purposes reduced collaborative conflict significantly.
That transparency piece is crucial for the evidence-based adoption path forward. Institutions need to be honest about what they're trying to achieve and how they'll measure success. Is the goal faster content mastery, deeper conceptual understanding, better preparation for workplaces that will increasingly use these tools?
The assessment question is particularly thorny. If we're using AI to personalize learning pathways, how do we maintain common standards? The watermarking framework offers one approach to ensuring academic integrity, but it doesn't solve the larger question of what we should be assessing in an AI-augmented world.
as someone who will soon be entering that world, I worry that we're not having honest conversations about what skills will actually matter. My coding classes focus on syntax and algorithms, but in industry, engineers are increasingly working with AI pair programmers. We're being trained for yesterday's workplaces while living in today's classrooms.
That's the long-term pedagogical impact gap showing up in curriculum design. Institutions are making decisions based on immediate pressures rather than future needs. The rapid change in teaching and learning requires us to think differently about what constitutes foundational knowledge versus transient skill.
Having navigated multiple educational reforms as a teacher, I've learned that successful transformation requires honoring what works while making space for what might work better. It's not about abandoning tradition for innovation, but finding the synergies between them.
The most inspiring examples I've seen are when professors use technology to enable more human interaction, not less. Flipped classrooms, where AI handles content delivery so class time can be for discussion, or collaborative platforms that help students connect across different learning styles.
That human-centered approach seems to be the resolution our emotional journey is pointing toward. The data isn't telling us to choose between innovation and tradition, but to integrate them in ways that enhance rather than replace human connection and deep learning.
The practical next steps for educators might start with small, evidence-informed experiments rather than wholesale transformation, trying one new tool in one course, collecting student feedback, studying the impact on specific learning outcomes before scaling.
And involving students in the process, not as passive recipients, but as co-designers. We often have insights about what technologies actually support learning versus what just looks shiny. The research on detecting confusion during collaboration shows that students are often the first to notice when something isn't working.
That brings us full circle to our central discovery about rapid change. The institutions that will thrive aren't necessarily the ones with the most resources or the newest technology, but those that develop the capacity for continuous, evidence-informed adaptation, what we might call learning how to learn at an organizational level.
From my teacher's heart, what gives me hope is that beneath all this technological transformation, the fundamental magic of education remains unchanged. That moment when a student connects with an idea, when curiosity is ignited, when understanding dawns. The tools may change, but that human spark remains the center of everything.
As a student living through this transformation, what I want most is for my education to prepare me not just for today's world, but for tomorrow's unknowns. That means developing the judgment to know when technology enhances my thinking and when it limits it, when tradition provides necessary foundation, and when innovation offers better paths forward.
The dimension derby between innovation and tradition in higher education isn't a race with one winner. It's an ongoing dialogue, sometimes tense, sometimes synergistic, about how we cultivate human potential in a rapidly changing world. The data shows the pace is only accelerating, but it also points toward paths forward that honor both evidence and experience, both technological possibility and pedagogical wisdom.
Having seen education from both sides of the desk, what strikes me is that the most meaningful transformations happen at the intersection of technological capability and human insight. When we use tools like the linguistic analysis from the confusion detection research not to surveil students but to understand their learning processes better, we're moving in the right direction.
As I finish my degree and think about the education I've received, what I'll carry forward isn't the specific technologies I used, but the thinking habits I developed, including how to thoughtfully engage with tools that amplify human intelligence. The best education prepares us not just to use technology, but to shape it toward human purposes.
That insight points toward the resolution our data journey has been building toward. The rapid change in teaching and learning isn't a problem to be solved, but a reality to be navigated, with evidence as our compass, student success as our true north, and the timeless human capacity for learning as our most renewable resource. The dimension derby continues, but the finish line isn't technological supremacy. It's educational excellence that serves both individual potential and collective progress.